American media is a business, and it has a mission. Not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men and indoctrinate citizens with a capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
And it is a good day. This is Sean Kennedy reporting to you from the internet for Monday, March 24th, 2008. And that's right, you're listening to Newsreel, the Wall Global Set Route on Core Political Tyranny Technology and Trends for Headspace and Transhumanist Cyberpunk Timing. RAND Media is taking a stand for free speech today, and just by listening and distributing this program, you are too. And aside from also taking a stand, you're also spreading the information, spreading the virus, spreading the ideas that help to keep other fellow human beings alive in this crazy day and age where information is just coming at you at fire hose speed. You know what I mean? Like, it seems like every day we just get more and more news stories that are just bombarding us, and it's very, very hard to keep up. So what I'm doing is I'm trying to do my part to make sure that you get the news you need to survive. I'm your host, Sean Kennedy, and this is a newsreel broadcast from RAND Media, and you can follow up with me and all of my news stories and check my facts by going to my live journal. And you can get to my live journal by going to sean_kennedy.livejournal.com. This would be a free podcast that can be heard on RAND Radio, SRN1, Wild Bunch Radio, WNY Media Network, KJAG Radio, Pure Rock Radio, and Radio Red Mercury. And a big hello out there to the Cyberscape FOB Hunker Downs out there on Second Life Node, Marcel Grid 2301199-4. Got some feedback right off the top in case you live under a rock or unaware of what's going on in the world. Art Clark died. Yes, Mr. 2001, 2010, 2000, whatever. Wrote 4 books, and 2 of them made it into movies. Arthur C. Clarke, visionary science fiction writer who wrote 2001, A Space Odyssey, and won worldwide acclaim for more than 100 books on space, science, and the future, died just this past Wednesday, and he was 90 years old. As WOG as they get. As WOG as they get. And what are WOGs if this is your first show and you're not too sure what a WOG is? There's a lot of different ideas. My definition of a WOG sort of is hard to refine. It's hard to nail it right down. But we're a collective group of individuals who are not, you know, limited by culture or by religion or anything like that. So incredibly mud-hut. No, WOGs are an adaptive, tactically minded survivalist. That's what they are. There's certain people in history who have been WOG. Indiana Jones was WOG. Arthur C. Clarke was WOG. There's been a lot of people who have been WOG throughout history. And whether or not, you know, you could say that they even knew they were WOG, it's just the idea of being outside of the box. Being one of the people who understands, what the people who took the right color pill. You know what I'm saying? The people who get it. That's what we are. And you would wonder, why is it important that we are WOG? Why is it important that we don't allow ourselves to be bogged down by debates and bullshit clauses? We have to focus on what's effective. And why is that? Well, there's been some talk lately about the cyberpunk future. You know, there was recently, I think it was the General Scientific got together, and they talked about, they had an article where they said, forget about genetically modified crops. The greatest environmental concerns of the future should be nanomaterials, man-made viruses, and biomimetic robots. So, say researchers, policymakers, and environmental campaigners who have identified 25 potential future threats to the environment in the UK, which the researchers said they should focus on. Now, some of the stuff they were talking about is things like biomimetic robots that could become a new invasive species, experiments involving climate engineering, ocean fertilization, and deploying solar shields, increased demand for biomass needed to make biofuel, disruption of marine ecosystems by offshore power generation, and experimentation to control invasive species using genetically engineered viruses. All of these things are basically the nastiest parts of every single science fiction book. Well, those that were, you know, for the great golden eras. We're talking like, you know, Islands in the Net, Snow Crash, Neuromancer, all the ones that back in the day we were talking about the tomorrow like it's now, and now the tomorrow that was supposed to be now is practically yesterday, and we're left kind of trying to figure out what's going on. More and more, people are feeling caught like some kind of a just the smallest leaf, caught up in this massive, you know, info storm of media. We're lost. We're getting hit with the rerun generation, kickbacks from a kinder, simpler time where they're redoing all of the classic songs done by artists who were playing live music using real instruments. Now they're remixing it. Not that I'm against synth. I like synths. Goa Psytrance is my favorite musical genre currently. However, there comes a point when you need to realize that, whoa, we're getting bombarded here. And at that point, well, when in doubt, seek hardcover. That's a good plan. And no better place to find hardcover than on the web once you get off of the mainstream, slip into the side stream, and you wind up going to the backstream, which you can find on the internet. And, of course, the internet, as we refer to it, as, well, the cyberspace, what I call the cyberscape, just because, you know, I'm old school like that. And if you are on the cyberscape, you may have known about Second Life. Free thing, get involved. There's a lot of ideas for, you know, how to come up with a virtual world. This one is the one we're currently using. And there's a forward operation-based code named FOB Hunker Downs, which can be located, which we talked about at the beginning of the show. We talked about that last show, and we got some feedback from that one. Update on Rant Media and Second Life. Thanks, you guys did a fantastic job on the radio. Which is kind of funny that we call this radio because no radio touched this program. I already have people signing up. We'll touch base with you in the near future to let you know how things are going. That was sent from the guy who built Hunker Downs. Now, I have never actually spoken with this guy directly. You know, he just said, hey, I'm a WOG. I put this up here. I want to have people together. Don't ever let yourself get conned into, you know, joining some big organization or group or paying money for stuff, okay? I mean, if you want to join Second Life, that's your business, okay? But you don't have to be a WOG. You don't have to pay nobody to be a WOG. You just have to choose, you know what, I'm a WOG. And generally, we try to look out for each other. You know what I mean? WOGs look out for each other. As vague as that is, I'd like to try that. You know, maybe, you know, ape should not kill ape, you know? But you can't even say that, because if you got a crazy person who claims he's WOG, you know, does that make him WOG the minute he's... And what does that mean? The WOGs have to, you know, it opens a whole doorway there. So we try not to screw each other over. Unless it's necessary and there's deal breakers involved. I'm going to have to write all this stuff down. You know, that's really what the whole concept of Cybuto was all about, some writing that I did. Never really finished that off. I got the intro down, but sometimes, you know, trying to come up with a filter, some sort of a system to deal with the massive influx of information we have to deal with every day is very, very hard. It's very, very hard. And it's very hard to make something that's teachable, something that's easily accessible to the masses, something that everyone can do, and it makes for a nice template in which we can all imprint off of without an agenda, without some kind of crazy alternative plan so that, you know, you enslave people, which is what everybody does. That's what a lot of these self-help groups are, you know? They're nothing more than social enslavement, and I think that's sick and weird. If you can cure somebody by talking to them, well, there's probably a special place in hell for you if you charge too much money to do that kind of thing. Dear Sean, more feedback. Had a bit of thought about that movie manipulation news from the 17th. Yeah, that was last show. We were talking about how they're creating brand new 3D movie projector, like movie theaters with 3D capabilities. This is the big push in Hollywood. They're equipping a bunch of movie theaters with it. I guess it's to combat privacy. What I was thinking of is that why are they spending so much money on this new technology? As well, as we all know, the corps hate spending more than they have to. Two possible speculations come to mind here. First, this could be the way to defeat the piracy problem, of course. I doubt any standard camera can record 3D well enough to get a decent quality screener for a 3D movie. I would agree. But I think a bigger push is just to get people to get back in the theater. Because people aren't going to the movies, because why wait? You go to the movie theater, some smelly assholes up there getting high, top rows, pissing you off. Guy takes his shit in the corner, people got cell phones ringing, little kids are screaming, people fighting with his girlfriend. You don't want it. You paid your $25 each to get into the goddamn movie theater. You'd like to watch the movie in peace. What the hell? And for the cost of the two of you going to the movies at popcorn, you could have bought it in the Criterion Edition Collector's Super Box Set and watch it forever and ever and ever. So, you know, the letter goes on to say, and the second speculation is that we might be about to see the same technology released for the home. This could be a problem in and of itself, given the media industry has been looking for a way to sneak the trusted media chip in for years. It could be something to keep in mind as things progress. Yes, trusted media in the Recomedia section of the show today. And that wonderfully insightful piece of feedback came from my buddy, Fat Ninja, who in fact does kick a lot of ass. On to the news. Now, here's this one. You know, let's talk about the after now. I hate it when I'm right, because when I'm right, you know, I'm kind of a cynic. I don't know if you've listened to any of my tales from the After Now stuff. I, you know, wrote a couple books, and one of them I don't sell, one of them I do. It could be argued which one I should be selling, but anyway. The After Now is an audio program you can download. Just type in After Now. You'll find me there. And you can download, listen to all of it for free. Got a long road trip, want to feel depressed? Listen to Tales from the After Now. Some people like to listen to it when they sleep. I think those people frighten me very deeply. Anyway, in the After Now, I talk about this thing called the Wastelands. This is where all the outside people live in, like, tent cities. Which, incidentally, reminds me of that new film, Doomsday, just came out. I want to go check that out. Some of the shit coming out of Britain has been pretty good. Kind of looks like 28 Days meets, Escape from New York meets, 28 Days meets Escape from New York meets, I don't know, a couple other films. It's one of the genre, but I like the people who are doing it. The guy who did it did Descent. With The Descent, which is a movie about these chicks who go caving, monsters in caves. Really well done. I enjoyed the film very much. But anyway, getting back to the Wasteland Fringer news. The meltdown in the United States mortgage market, this is from the BBC because nobody's talking about this in the States, has led to record foreclosures and forced thousands from their homes. In few places is it worse. Okay, so no place. Okay, whatever. Exactly what they say there. Then Southern California. Where the BBC's Rajesh Merchandani reports on extreme consequences of the downturn, but one that some observers fear could grow. 40 miles east of Los Angeles, on a patch of waste ground. It's actually called waste ground. So, on a patch of wasteland, 40 miles east of L.A., is the place they call Tent City, sandwiched between the local airport and the railway line. This is really the wrong side of the tracks. You know, we could probably find that on Google Earth. Can somebody find that on Google Earth and send me that grid? That'd be great. Newsreel at ranradio.com. We are on the outskirts of Ontario, a functioning, pleasant community city in Southern California. Last summer, local officials established a camp as a temporary base for the city's homeless population, then around two dozen, so 24 people. But the word spread, and now some 300 people live here. It has an air of scruffy permanence, and indeed, city officials say there are no current plans to close it down. Most residents live in tents, some in mobile homes in various states of disrepair, their possessions crammed in with them or spread out on the ground. And amenities are basic. No means of electricity, no plumbing, no drainage. Portable showers offer a chance to wash, but there is nowhere to prepare food apart from makeshift tables in the open air. Dogs and children scratch around in the dusty earth. What is striking is the range of people here at whites. African-Americans, because you can't say whites and blacks, right? Because it's whites, African-Americans, Hispanics, and that fucking pisses me off. You know, who gives a shit what your race is? Who cares? Who cares? Does not matter. This is a division tactic they use to keep us separate, okay? It's not like religion where you choose it and it's like a culture that you're brought up with or whatever, okay? You're born white. Good for you. You're born black, good for you. You're born Hispanic, good for you. Rock on. Makes as much difference as your hair or eye color, okay? Moving right along. Anyway, the old and the young, and including some with babies, and they all have a variety of stories, too. Benson Weaver, a Vietnam veteran, said a leg operation allowed him to walk after years of being in a wheelchair, but as a consequence, his disability benefits were cut off, and he could not afford his rent. Other told tales of family disputes, houses burning down. Some were addicts, some were fresh out of prison. But one man who did not give his name said his family were living in a tent city because they were victims of America's foreclosure crisis. It came down to feeding my family or keeping the house. So I got rid of the house. The property he lost near Ontario, which in places offers middle-class suburban dream, green lawns, wide pavement garages, big enough for two cars, yet is an area unknown to the Inland Empire, where the rate of foreclosure is the third highest in the entire United States. No longer able to afford his mortgage payments, the man saw his lender repossess the property, and now someone else lives there. Ouch, gotta hurt. You know, it's hard for me to see it when someone else comes in and owns it, and I'm homeless with nothing, he said. There are thousands like him across California, people whose inability to finance their mortgages has cost them their homes. Many thousands more across the United States. But in Tent City, at least, he's in a minority. Few here are as a direct result of the housing crash. However, Mike Dunlap, who runs a volunteer group providing supplies to Tent City's dwellers, thinks that could change. People lose their homes through foreclosures. They go live in hotels, and the homeless people who are in the hotels end up back on the streets. He fears that as more people lose their homes, what appears to be a deepening housing market collapse, more former homeowners would end up in places like Tent City. Very, very disturbing trend. Now, it's pretty puffy there. They haven't really come right out and said, oh, yeah, we're in the shit. But, the writing's kind of on the wall there. You're looking around, you see all this Tent Cities and stuff. A little bit disturbing. little bit on the freaked out side, you know? I mean, how long before this is going to grow and populate? And once that happens, we're going to wind up with, like, you know, gangs that would hang out in refugee camps and things of this nature. How far out is it? Oh, I'm sure the entire economy is going to turn right around, hey? I mean, I'm absolutely certain things are going to get better starting immediately. No, wait, I'm being a sarcastic prick. In fact, I believe that things are going to get a whole ass load worse before they get better. So, if you take into account, you know, the basic cyberpunk environmental pressures and the current collapse of the North American culture and the rise of emergence of corporations providing private security a la Blackwater, UAVs, robots, convergence, and whatever else, we are coming into a very 20 minutes into the future, Max Headroom, Blade Runner, cyberpunk sort of dystopia now. As a matter of fact, you could probably even, you know, dystopia now would probably be the name. Well, I should change the name of this show, too. Everything is dystopia now. I mean, you're looking around. We got burned out Desert War vets coming home, and they haven't even started to report on the damage that that's doing. Oh, baby. Never mind the shit of, you know, once we stop the actual open infectious wound that has become what the Iraq occupation is, not that, you know, and I'm not even going to get started on, you know, I've been saying since the beginning of this whole thing, if you're going to go to war, you talk to your generals, you let your generals make the plays, and then you let the generals make the decisions so that you can deal with it. But everybody blames the fucking army, and it never, ever is the army's fault. Okay, no one ever listens to the generals. Did the same thing in Vietnam. Did they listen? No. They didn't listen. Nobody listened. You know, and they blame, oh, well, that's just the military. No, it's not the military, okay? So what you need to do is you need to go, oh, okay, we need to accomplish this. You give the military the mandate. The army says, well, that mandate is fucked. You're not going to be able to achieve that. Here's why. And then politicians go, meh, okay, well, what, did you have another option? Yes, we can do this, this, and this. It'll accomplish the same goals. Thanks for calling. Moving right along. This is called, you know, intelligent, you know, the big, this is what the SAS do, like a Chinese parliament. They all sit around and they all have their say. They talk about why things will and will not work, and they can move forwards. This is like a revolutionary concept within the special operations community, and it should probably be, you know, translated up the chain to the people who are making life and death decisions for millions. You know, maybe there's a few things more at work here. I don't know. But anyhow, as it stands, you know, we're in a pretty desperate state right here. So if you don't start taking accountability, responsibility, and mastery of technology, it will master you, and you and yours could wind up in Tent City like this poor bastard without any mods, any weapons, or a chance. Thanks for coming out. You've just joined the classes of non-player characters inhabiting the Earth. In robot news, how about this one here? An 81-year-old Gold Coast man built and yesterday used an intricate suicide machine to remotely shoot himself after downloading plans for it from the internet. The Berlin Heads man, who lived alone, left notes of his plans and as he struggled to come to terms with demands by interstate relatives that he move out of his home and into care. So the kids want him to move out of the house, move into his own thing. He's 81 years old. He's obviously capable enough to build himself a robot, loads it up, set the robot loose in his driveway, 7 a.m. in the morning, placed himself in front of it, wrote a note explaining why, and the robot fired four shots into his head. And the neighboring work crew heard him, found him in the driveway. Robot fled the scene, is now at large. We don't know where the robot is. That's got to fuck with the poor robot, you know? He's built by his creators like iRobot. He's got to think, that's my purpose. I executed mine. Okay, the robot didn't flee the scene. I'm making that part up. But don't you wish he had, though? I mean, wouldn't that be a much better story if the robot fucked up and now he's all, like, emo, you know?
When I was a young robot, my father took me into the city.
It'd be great. We could have emo robots all feeling bad, secretly chewing on their wires. Also in robot news, another piece of robot news, Samsung sucks with their robotic technology. Okay, so bad. So bad. The new robotic vacuum cleaner, the Haozun VCRE70V, rolls off the tongue like you would not believe. The new Samsung Haozun VCRE70V robot vacuum cleaner uses cameras. So it's like an iRobot, but it's actually a robot. It uses cameras to automatically generate a map of where it is cleaned in the room already. So what? Is it going to be like, hey, I already cleaned there. I don't want to clean again. When the Samsung Haozun VCRE70V needs recharging, it automatically finds the charging station. After recharging, it continues to clean where it last stopped. Handy! I guess the other Roomba robot does not do that shit. Made by iRobot. The Samsung has 15 sensors to avoid obstacles, The new Samsung vacuum robot will be released in Korea this month. No idea on the pricing on that bad boy, but hey, I'm all about robots doing manual labor. As a matter of fact, you know, I've been thinking a lot about that. It's hard to take this cyberpunk dystopia future. I mean, for those of you who have been trying to catch up, I mean, Jesus Christ, you get all this stuff coming in. The data's nonstop. It's constantly coming at you. You've got all these different things you got to keep on. You learn a programming language before you even got the vowels down. The programming language has moved on. We've got bandwidth exceeding speeds. We have got YouTube everywhere. We got so much media, we can't even keep up with it. And it's like this massive distraction to keep us from focusing on what is real, what is important. And, of course, let's not forget, we've got the MPAA, and everybody acting like the SS, trying to lock down every single kid who wants to get access to information. Probably not the best thing to do. You know, locking up your whole population base. I'm not a big fan of it. So, you know, it's hard to figure out how to stay adaptive. If you don't adapt, you die. If you don't like change, you're going to like being irrelevant even less. So we got to come up with a way to be adaptive. And that is what tactical thinking is all about. That's what WOG mindset is all about. We've got to come up with a way to use this, utilize this, make sure that we stay on top of things so that we don't wind up by our own design to be obsolete. That's the plan. That's the challenge. Very, very difficult. And, of course, you don't have to try to, you know, do it all on your own. There's lots of great hack-your-head kind of stuff that goes on. That's the real WOG tradition, isn't it? Hacking your head. Well, that's what everybody's done. We all trying to choose, you know, the lie we want to believe versus the lie they give you. That's one thing we do. But we also try to determine what is the truth. Because the truth is important. It is important, damn it. I mean, there is a true thing that's going on. Something really, there is a truth regarding 9/11. There is a truth regarding all the things that are going on with the Bush administration. There is a truth there. There is the truth. Whether or not we'll ever get to it, I don't know. I don't know what we're going to need to do to get to the truth. But the truth is out there. And what we need to do is make sure that we can stay alive so we can keep other people who are not WOGs alive, because that's what we do. You know, I mean, I would think you'd have a certain amount of obligation to not make life suck for everyone, or at least try to, you know, ease the suffering on some level. God, I hope that these shows are easing the suffering of somebody. You know, maybe there's a few people out there, and I know you're out there. I know there's those of you out there. Download this show, never send in an email. Never send in an email, never send anything like that. Don't donate, and that's okay. But you download the show because you know it's there, and every single Monday, bam, there's Newsreel. And you know that somewhere out there, there's other people just like you who are having a hard time. Maybe you're in a different stage of your life. Maybe you're on top of the world. Maybe you're on the bottom of the world. Who knows? But the world is round and it does turn. So as long as you stay in the mix, there is a chance that you will get back to the top once again. And dedicating tactical thinking, dedicating your mind to that sort of process, you too will be able to, well, stay on top. And that's what it's all about, isn't it, really? You know, one of the things I use, if you haven't picked up on this by now, is GoJuice, a.k.a. coffee, and Nihai, or Nihi, or Hini, or something. Buddy's name, Nihin, not Nihi, N-I-H-I, you pronounce the pronunciation, sent in a story about Starbucks. A U.S. judge has ordered Starbucks to repay its coffee makers more than 100 million in tips that were paid to shift supervisors. San Diego Superior Court Judge Patricia Cowett said that the coffee makers, or baristas, as Starbucks calls them, because they completely rename everything, you know, that was large is now venti and blah, blah, blah. They've re-influenced. I mean, this is a company that really has got the whole company thing down. You got to give it to Starbucks. They know what they're doing. They really do. Anyway, Judge Pat there issued an injunction banning supervisors from sharing future tips. She said the practice broke state law barring managers and supervisors from obtaining a share of employees' tips. The Starbucks spokeswoman, Valerie O'Neill, said the company planned to appeal against the ruling, which she described as fundamentally unfair and beyond all common sense and reason. Strong words from the coffee people. The lawsuit was filed in October 2003 by Joe Chu, a former Starbucks barista in L.A. in La Jolla, California. The 2006 suit was granting class action status, allowing it to go forward on behalf of as many as 100,000 former and current baristas in the California stores. Wow. Now, that's going to be something to watch. Hey, I wonder if we'll see any more of that. Who knows what will happen with those guys. Very, very interesting. Now, in cybernetics news, Listen to this one here. This is quite the story. Researchers in California have created an artificial muscle that heals itself and it generates electricity. This is unreal. This is as of March 19th, okay? The research, parts of which have already been used in Japan to generate electricity from ocean waves, could be used to make walking robots, develop better prosthetics, or even charge your iPod. Thanks for making this, you know, accessible to me. Because all I know about technology is my iPod. No, no, I never dream about cybernetics. We made an artificial muscle that when you apply electricity to it, expands more than 200%. What? Wow, said Obing Pei, a scientist at the University of California, Los Angeles, and study author. The motion and energy is a lot like human muscles. Sexy. Artificial muscles have been around for years, but essentially hamstrung themselves. Some artificial muscles get so big they tear, developing uneven film thickness and random particles that cause muscle failure. The researchers use flexible, ever more ubiquitous carbon nanotubes as electrodes instead of other films, often metal-based, that fail after repeated use. If an area of carbon nanotube fails, the region around it seals itself off, becoming non-conductive, and prevents the fault from spreading to other areas. During long-term tests with the new device, the actual material experience of a number of events, but it still worked. So it's like, that's very, very interesting stuff. Now you wonder, this is, you know, everybody who knows me, and, you know, anybody who's really online, and you take, you know, the whole transhumanist world seriously, you're going to come into contact with the work of Shiro Matsumune. Okay, you're going to come in contact with a guy. If you haven't seen it, this is a great chance for me to recommend. You know, I think I recommended it last show. It's his new Appleseed film. I think it's called, you know, I should remember its name. Deus Ex Machina or Choose a Machina or something like that. What the hell is the name of that show? It's Appleseed Ex Machina. I'm just looking at the file right now. I want to try to get Appleseed Ex Machina, I believe is what it's actually called. Very, very cool. Very, very cool. Done by John Woo. You know, so it's completely off the chain. The graphics are off the chain. But I enjoyed it. They have some technology in there. They talk about some wearable stuff, which is kind of unique. But they show a lot of the dangers of that. As well as, you know, bioroids and things like this. This is like an emergence of technology that is just blowing my mind. There is so much happening so fast. But, you know, you wonder, you know, who has access to this stuff? Is this only the Ivory Tower crowd? You know, who is, you know, really making these advancements? You know, is any of this really being seen, or is this all just pie-in-the-sky vaporware stuff? But let's go positive here. I mean, there's got to be some level of measure, you know, something checksumming this, right? There's got to be something looking after it, tending the light at the end of the tunnel, one would hope. But, you know, if you were to start to replace yourself, here's a question for the newsreel audience. How much of you can you replace and still be you? For example, I cut off my arms and legs. I'm still Sean. I'm just Sean with no arms and no legs. I cut off my head, and keep my head alive. I'm still Sean, right? Because, you know, my head's me. I'm still me. So we start, you know, monkeying around with intelligence and cognitive transfer. And, you know, if I carbon copy myself directly into a machine and activate it, I would be effectively in two places at once. It would have exactly the same memories. I mean, how much of you can you replace and still be you? Is there a soul? Things like this. And this brings us to the annoying concept of ghosts. There's been so many sightings of ghosts. We'd love to write off ghosts. Some people already have. There's the atheist crowd who believe that ghosts don't exist, you know. But, I mean, people see them, right? They can't all be bullshit, can they? I mean, chances are people out there have seen a ghost, or they know someone who swears up and down, reliable source, that they've seen a ghost. So there's got to be something, right? There's always, you know, there's something going on with the supernatural. So how does the supernatural tie in with Mecca and with the whole coming machine age? Very, very interesting stuff. Mind-bending stuff. The stuff that needs some good brains working on it. You know, if it's not and it's all fake and it's all bullshit, well, you know, I guess no big deal. Hey, bring on the wet wiring because we're all just waiting to die anyway. But if there's more to it than that, then that's important, I would think. You know, it's kind of unique. And you know, I mean, personally, fortunately or unfortunately, I mean, you got to pick a side, right? And I've always sided with technology. Like the rant said back in the day when I was young and stupid and screaming, I would scream about, you know, bring on the wet wiring. Bring it on! Well, it's going to happen anyway. And you know what? Anything that can improve the quality of life in the early stage, yeah, it's not going to be that great. I mean, you know, the Kitty Hawk was not an F-18. That's for damn sure. But you give that thing a few generations to be worked on, and before you know it, hey, we got ourselves some serious jets. We got some pretty cool stuff going on. We got space flight. We got the future. And what could be more WOG than making the future of our own bodies? What could be more WOG than that? I mean, that's a very transhumanist concept, I know. Very transhumanist concept. Very strange concept. But it's something that bears thinking about. Versus what? Getting old and dying. Well, I'll just have an extra huge dollop of shitty, please. Who wants to get old and die? Not me. I'll tell you that right now. No chance. Maybe it's inevitable. Maybe it's inevitable, but I'd rather, you know, punch death repeatedly in the throat as it tries to drag me away. That's just me. And there's other people who think like I do. The good WOGs at DARPA. Yes? You know, it's hard to hate DARPA. They're the people that gave us the internet. You know, it's hard for us to really call down DARPA. They are army, you know, but they do some good stuff. Again, the internet. Thanks very much, DARPA. Well, listen to this one here. In February, it's going back a little bit, the DARPA authorized the next phase of the 4-year program to create prosthetic arms that can better emulate natural limbs. They will more closely match the real thing in appearance and function, and the ability to feel with them and to control them will be vast improvements over anything currently available. The revolutionizing prosthetics program has spread over 30 different organizations, including 10 universities across Canada, Europe, and the United States. The University of New Brunswick, Fredericton, is working on signal process and pattern recognition for natural arm control. The University of Utah in Salt Lake City is working on electrodes for brain implants, and I've reported on this before. The Johns Hopkins Institute Applied Physics Laboratory in Laurel, MD, is herding the cats, according to DARPA manager Colin Jeffrey Ling, ensuring that these far-flung research partners work together to make the bionic arm a near-term reality. Wow! Johns Hopkins got the shitty end of that straw. My God, that would suck! Trying to get all these fucking ivory tower ego heads to work together? Whoa! How do you spell shitty? Man, that would suck. Well, good for you, though, guys. I mean, if you can pull that off, you can start turning out the Hecatonculus units. Hey, I'm all for it. Sign me up for the T-1000 when they come out. Scientists involved say that this Manhattan Project-like system, which, you know, interesting tie-in, on which DARPA has already spent $30 million. Wow, that's nothing. If you can give us cybernetic bodies, let's turn that M to a B. It's the only way to bring technology this advanced into the world by 2009. Hell yeah, now that's a time frame. That's next year. The program was conceived in 2005 to create prosthetic arms that would leapfrog the stagnant hood and cable technology that has improved little since World War II, and which is handy since we're in World War III. DARPA split the program into two separate projects. One of them, a 2-year effort that would yield by 2007 the most sophisticated mechanical arm possible with the currently available technologies. That contract went to the New Hampshire-based DECA Research and Development Corp, the International Applied Physics Laboratory. The longer effort has also a mandate to produce an arm with state-of-the-art mechanics by 2007, calling the Proto One the first APL arm completed in 2000 has approximately 8 joints or degrees of freedom. Wow, cool. The APL's second-generation prototype, called Proto 2, began in 2007, has 25 degrees of freedom, almost as much dexterity as a human limb. The APL project leader, Stuart Hasperger, says Proto 2, with 15 motors in the hand alone, is capable of unprecedented mechanical agility and shows that we will be able to develop a viable mechanical limb system, including finger movements, for the native limb over the next 2 years. But that's not really the point. Making a truly bionic arm requires far more than mechanical breakthroughs, better processing power, or longer batteries. None of these enable prosthetic to respond to the wearer's intent with the natural limb's unthinking grace. And that's part of what this new project is. Now, it's going to be handy because we're going to be having a lot of these kids coming out of the Desert Wars with their arms and legs blown off. So I think DARPA is trying to find a way because, you know, hey, if let's say, you know, you take the red pill, all right, you join the Marines, you totally buy into it, you know, you go out there, you're a Marine, you're fighting for your country, you're fighting because you're ordered to fight, you fight because you're a Marine and that's what you do, wham, bam, IED takes you, there goes your leg, there goes your arm. Now, if you're useless to the Marines, they're going to bin your ass, right? So out you go. And then you get to feel like you're one of the walking wounded. You did your part from King and Country. You're supposed to die on the battlefield, but you didn't die, did you? No, you're still alive. And you're left in this weird limbo where it's like you woke up from this dream. You're back in reality, only now you're missing part of your body and you don't feel really complete. On comes the PTSD. And plus all the other snakes you can fit inside your head. But, if DARPA could come along, catch you in the middle there, rebuild you, and suddenly you're a cyborg, suddenly you've got, you know, these extra mechanical parts, you're able to walk, you go from being a cripple to feeling like you're the T-1000. I mean, yeah, it's unfortunate that you lost the limb and everything, and I don't think you should be over there losing limbs and stuff like that with bad battle strategy. Again, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of bionics, but, you know, for the people that are ahead, it'd be nice to be able to get them some sort of technology that will help them out. And let's not forget when we get older. I mean, it's going to be kind of hard to make an entire robotic body, you know, all at once. So we're going to start with the limbs, then we'll start replacing the organs and torso, and eventually somebody's just going to build a complete aftermarket system so that when I'm 85 and my body's starting to take a shit, well, let's just hook them up, bang! Slap the brain over until we get complete consciousness transfer, and you know it, baby. We're going to start busting out the really high-grade cybernetic bodies at that part. You want to see me go in debt? Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'd like to see you foreclose on my cybernetic body. I really would, because that's going to be something that, well, from my cold, dead brain case, buddy. It's the only way you'll be getting it. But, you know, hey, if you're going to go in debt for something, I'd go in debt for that. That's another thing, too, with all these foreclosures and stuff. I mean, a lot of people, you know, the wastelanders, people living in debt, people using their houses to mortgage against it, a lot of people will just stand back and go, well, that's their own damn fault, isn't it? Well, you know, yeah, I guess it is. They, you know, they're the ones who fucked up. But I have a hard time condemning people. I do. I have a hard time condemning people when it's just bad luck. You know, if you're sold a bill of goods, and then when you get to the checkout, you realize the bill of goods, it was not what the brochure promised, and all of a sudden, bang, you take it in the ass, not so good. Not so good. And nothing makes it even worse than to sit back and go, well, you should have known. You should have been better before informed. You should have done this. You should have done that. And everybody likes to shit all over them. Well, you know, sometimes it's difficult. It's difficult to know what's going to happen. And, you know, there but for the grace of God go I. So try to have a little bit of patience for these guys, because their entire lives have been turned into shit. So, you know, even if they were stupid, and even if it is their own fault, believe me, they're paying for it. They made their bed and they got to lie in it, such as it is. Even if it's newspapers on the park bench. And I got a feel for those guys. It sucks. Learn from experience. It doesn't necessarily have to be yours. Now, here's an interesting story again. You know, anybody involved with the internet or involved in the IT trade whatsoever should pay very close attention to what's happening with bandwidth. Bandwidth is the future. Video footage has been transmitted using terahertz wireless signals for the first time. This is big news, guys. Although the link spanned just 22 meters, it marks a significant step towards much faster chunks of wireless spectrum by harnessing radio waves oscillating a trillion times per second. The speed at which wireless data can be transferred is limited by vibration rate of radio waves. Today's fastest wireless technologies, including Wi-Fi and third generation 3G mobile networks, operate in the ranges of a gigahertz, a billion times per second, and a megahertz, a million times perspective, respectively. Using the terahertz bandwidth, which ranges of 300 gigahertz to 3 terahertz, could offer a 1,000-fold increase from transmission speed and should open up new frequencies for communication. The as-yet untapped terahertz band of electromagnetic spectrum lies between microwaves and visible light. Interesting. If you want to do very high rates of communication, you have to use terahertz frequencies, said Christian Jastrow of the Terahertz Communication Lab in Braunschweig, Germany. Terahertz waves are hard to generate because of their frequency falls above those generated by microwave equipment and below those generated by lasers. Terahertz security scanners that see through a person's clothes are easier because less fidelity is needed for communications. Until recently, terahertz frequencies have remained out of reach for those purposes. Now, Jastrow and colleagues have combined a series of commercially available frequency multipliers to make a 10 gigahertz microwave generator produce the lowest frequency of terahertz, a 300 gigahertz wave. A video shows a transmission of the television show Futurama using the system. Very interesting they use Futurama. previous demonstrations of terahertz transfers have been a much smaller scale and less data intensive than a video stream. Using a specifically designed high-frequency transmitter and polyethylene lens, the researchers focused the waves into a relatively low-power beam that transmitted video signal up to 22 feet before it's absorbed by the Earth's atmosphere. Jastrow says terahertz transmissions could improve video conferencing, make it possible to download complete movies and other large files in seconds rather than tens of minutes. Yeah, you know, it kind of bugs me when they try to dumb down the news stories. You know, am I the only one that happens to or what? Because that really pisses me off when they're like, you can download a movie. There's a bunch of stuff you can do with this, okay? Just, you know, don't insult my intelligence. AJ Naha of the University of Utah says the advance is very impressive, but it has its limits. They did a nice job of showing something people have been trying to get to. They did it using commercially available components, Nahata says. But they can't scale it up to one or more terahertz. I think Nahata is perhaps a little jealous that his university didn't come up with this shit. Because if they had, he should be saying, wow, that's really cool. You know, and that's the problem with a lot of these ivory tower dudes. You know, one guy makes a breakthrough, everybody else is like, eh, I could have done that. It's totally not scalable. Shut up, fool. If you could have been able to do this, you would have been able to do it too. But you didn't, so give props where props are due. He notes that each time Jastrow's team multiplied the microwave signal, they lost a significant amount of power, limiting the total increase frequency available. To get around such limits, Naha and others experimented with ultra-fast lasers as terahertz generators. So big surprise that Nahata didn't like the other way because he's using different technology. The point is that the technologies being used were in beta. This is like pre-beta. All right, these guys are working on research. They're pushing the envelope, and good for them. People are going to have to come up with other ways of doing this if they want to go to much higher frequencies. Whatever people think they have gone as fast as necessary, that very quickly gets used up and people want more. Yes, but it's people who are able to begin to utilize the terahertz band, people who are willing to stand up and say, hey, you know what, that's kind of cool that you were able to do that. That's kind of slick that you were able to, you know, at least make the shot. You know, so I cut them some slack, would ya? Cut them some slack. Now, when everything does go online and we're all out there, there is the problem that can occur, which is the idea of the digital plague. Like, what about if we're all, you know, machines? One little virus shows up and bam, people die, right? Or machines turn off, same thing. Hot on the heels in digital plague news, hot on the heels of a recent hack in which 10,000 websites were compromised, researchers have disclosed a new large-scale attack. Researchers at McAfee estimated the attack has been active for roughly 1 week, and in that time frame has managed to place itself on roughly 200,000 web pages. Most of the infected pages are running the PHP BB forum software, said McAfee. The compromised pages are embedded with a JavaScript file that links to the site hosting the attack. Rather than attempt to exploit browser vulnerabilities, the attacks attempt to trick user into manually launching its malicious payload. This contrasts Thursday's attack, in which the vast majority of those active server pages, explained McAfee researcher Craig Schumacher on the company blog posting. The ASP attacks are different than the PHP BB ones in that their payload method are quite different. Various exploits using the ASP attacks, where the PHP BB ones rely on social engineering. The infected pages bring up what looks to be a pornographic website. Upon loading the page, a fake codec social engineering attack is attempted. Users told that in order to view the movie on the page, special video codec must be installed. The user then downloads a Trojan program, which installs malware packages on the user's system, then delivers fraudulent error message sending the user that the supposed codec could not be installed. Very clever. And, of course, as everyone surfaces the internet looking for ever more twisted porn, well, you know, it's going to be a good way to know. So if you see that, you know, be advised. Good to know that particular digital plague's out there. We're trying to keep you posted. None of that, of course, any of us look at porn. That would be wrong and dirty and morally corrupt. So, of course, none of us do that. But if you happen to be accidentally there, or you know someone who does, it might be an idea to let them know what's going on. Now, Neomecha news. Now, Neomecha is a term I use to describe the merging of man with tech. I cybernization, same idea. Saber idea. It's scary stuff. True bleeding edge with the future of humanity hanging in the balance, man. That's what's happening here. We are watching the emergence of Homo technicus, or technical homos, or a side of homos. I'm not too sure how exactly, you know, homo superior. How do you explain cybernetic humans? The Neomecha construct the idea of convergence between man and machine, assimilation of technology of the synthetic with the organic. What a wild concept. But that's what's happening. And as we are bringing in more and more robots into our day-to-day life, just as we can extend our senses using microphones and amplified hearing, we can extend our limbs by using robotics. And now, if Menno Bark-based startup Willow Garage has its way in just a few weeks, we'll be able to hire out a robot to come clean your house once a week. The company is building open-source robots and giving them away to university research groups in an attempt to fuel quick improvements to the operating system and rapid build-out applications to run it. The company plans to deliver 10 robots to universities by the end of the year. Willow Garage President, CEO Steve Cousins: we might deliver more robots later, maybe up to 50. The company will release its open source software at the same time. You have to have the device to start inventing applications. Usually the first step is building the robot to create the hardware and then the software. Now we give you a ready-made platform for researchers groups to start up from. And it's a pretty interesting unit. He compares the development of personal robots to the revolution of personal computers. When the first ones came out, nobody knew what to do with them, but then the developments got started. Privately funded research lab Willow Garage was silently founded last year by Scott Hassan, the chairman of the board, who helped Larry Page and Sergey Brin develop Google technology back in the 90s. Scary stuff. Hassan was also the founder of eGroups, a group email messaging company bought by Yahoo Groups in 2000 for about $450 million, and presumably those funds are at least partly responsible for powering Willow Garage, although Hassan won't say where his funding comes from. Well, you know, this just harkens back to the information which I have been giving logs since early on the shows, and if you haven't listened to past shows, you can freely download them, where I tell you time and time again, get into robotics because that is the future, and lo and behold, holy shit, once again, I bask in the rich glory of being right. Besides personal robots being used in home or offices, Willow Garage is developing unmanned cars, autonomous vessels. The company aims to expand from its current 20 employees to 60 as soon as possible, says Cousins. According to Cousins, he's pictured on the left here, I don't know if this guy's legit. I mean, he could just be bucking for cash, right? Looks a little bit shifty. Of course, I mean, I don't know the guy. Could be nice. Cousins. Could be an okay dude. But if it's not going to be him, it's going to be somebody else. But anyway, it was in Stanford University at Palo that he came up with the idea of making robots available to research groups. The university has been developing personal assistant robots in its Stanford Artificial Intelligence Robotic STAIR project, and has already managed to build a robot that moves on wheels and is capable of performing simple tasks. STAIR researchers wanted to develop a robot further, but funds were lacking. Cousins says Willow Garage gave Stanford almost $1 million last fall to develop open source software for the personal assistance robot. Lack of integration is a problem. Almost every research group creates its own hardware and software, says assistant professor Andrew Ning, who leads the STAIR project. By having the research community move towards a standard operating system, ideas and inventions can be shared. This is very interesting. Maybe this will be like the TR-80 of the computer world. We can all get one of these things and start messing around with it. Cousins said the robots will probably be leased to universities with conditions such as if the robots are not used in research, they have to be returned. And what does Cousins hope the universities will deliver? I hope they publish a paper about the inventions, make the code available open source, and somebody else can build on top of their results. Very smart idea. Distributed computing within robots. Very, very cool. And, of course, to add this all up, we got another international group of cyber cops in Blade Runner news. A group of international cyber cops is ramping up plans to fight online crime across borders. The unit, known as the Strategic Alliance, a cybercrime working group, met this month in London, is made up of high-level online law enforcement representatives from FBI, Australia, Canada, New Zealand, United Kingdom. One of the main goals of the group, which was founded in 2006, is to fight cybercrime in a common way by sharing intelligence, swapping tools and best practices, and strengthening and synchronizing their respective laws. And it's got their work cut out for it. The Government Accountability Office last year said there's concern about threats that the nation-states and terrorists pose to our national security through attacks on U.S. computers, relying on critical infrastructure, and the theft of our sensitive information. So what have they done? Collectively, they developed a comprehensive overview of the transnational cyber threat. They set up a special area of law enforcement online. They created an internet portal. They launched a series of information bulletins emailing threats and trends. They sent out some email. They're exploring an exchange of cyber experts to serve, so they're talking. They share training curriculums. So a lot of talking. They're working on, they're trying to get themselves nailed down. because, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on online, and I think law enforcement might be getting left behind. That's an interesting area to look at. I don't think the cops are our enemies. You know, I'm sure that there's a lot of cybercrime officials listening to this show right now. I think we do need to have a presence of law enforcement. There's a lot of bad people online. A lot of bad people in the world. These people go online, therefore there are bad people online. And it would be nice if we could somehow, you know, put a stop to, you know, certain things that go on the web. You know, I think that there's some things that should, you know, probably be stamped out, i.e. child porn. Today's Daily Hacks. Got a couple of them here. Got a good one here. How to make an RFID hacking and data rape thanks to the moon. This is an interesting device that shows you how to pull information off of any RFID. As well, there's a cheap motor robotic microhelicopter how-to from Kobach, which is an RC model helicopter. Prices have reached a point where all sorts of challenging robotic projects can become affordable. This document explains how to build a 300G helicopter with embedded Linux and Bluetooth data link from off-the-shelf components for less than 500 euros. Very cool. This is like the whole concept of like what our buddy Nathaniel does, where he's making UAVs. And why limit UAVs? If you're going to have a personal robot, the thing may as well fly. Recomedia got some sent in to me. Hey, Sean, I just found two really neat videos that would be nice shared with the rest of the Newsreel listeners. The first one is called Big Brother State. The other one is the movie about trusted computing and the problems behind its concept. Enjoy! That was sent in by Como Theat. And as well, I got a big list of books sent in by G. Bliss. Way to go. Gotta love information. That's all I got for you today, but don't worry, I'll be back next week to make sure you get the news you need to survive. This has been a free podcast brought to you by the Wogs Who Care. And if you cannot donate, please distribute. Get this show to people you think who can use and listen and maybe enjoy the entire concept of the show. But if you can donate, please do so by clicking on the Donate tab on the Dark Atlas website or send an envelope with money in it to Rant Media Studios, Box 18121, 1215C, 56 Street, Delta, BC, Canada, V4M2M4. I want to thank the Army Flying Monkeys for their assistance and gathering data. And if you have information that you'd like to send me, you can reach me at Newsreel, N-E-W-S-R-E-A-L, at rantradio.com. If you like the music in the background, check out some Psytrance. Always enjoy Psytrance. And as well, I've got Re Your Brain from Jonathan Colton coming on the tail of this time. Very cool guy. You should go in there. He's got a really interesting way of marketing his program. $76. You pay him, get all of his music, and the guy's brilliant. Remember, everyone, we will never defeat the enemy if we're at each other's throats. But we must remember that we have to master technology or be mastered by it. Until next time, hey, that's what server said. End of line.
Hey, Tom, it's Bob from the office down the hall. It's good to see you, buddy. How have you been? Things have been okay for me, except that I'm a zombie now. Really wish you'd let us in. I think I speak for all of us when I say I understand why you folks might hesitate to submit to our demand. But here's an FYI, you're all gonna die. I mean, no one's gonna eat your eyes. All we wanna do is eat your brains. We're at an impasse here. Maybe we should compromise. If you open up the door, we'll all come inside and eat your brains. I don't wanna nitpick, Tom, but is this really your plan? Spend your whole life locked inside a mall. Maybe that's okay for now, but someday you'll be out of food and guns, and you'll have to make the call. I'm not surprised to see you haven't thought it through enough. You never had the head for all that bigger picture stuff. But Tom, that's what I do, and I plan on eating you slowly.
All we wanna do is eat your brains.
We're not unreasonable. I mean, no one's gonna eat your eyes.
All we wanna do is eat your brains.
compromise. Open up the door, we'll all come inside and eat your brains. I'd like to help you, Tom, in any way I can. I sure appreciate the way you're working with me. I'm not a monster, Tom. Well, technically I am. I guess I am. Ground somehow. Meanwhile, I'll report back to my colleagues who were chewing on the doors. I guess we'll table this for now. I'm glad to see you take constructive criticism well. Thank you for your time. I know we're all busy as hell. And we'll put this thing to bed when I bash your head open.
All we wanna do is eat your brains.
We're not unreasonable. I mean, no one's gonna eat your eyes.
All we wanna do is eat your brains.
We're at an impasse here. Maybe we should compromise.